to the PaymentFacilitator.com podcast. I'm editor Kim Graber. This week, we continue our look at underwriting in the payment facilitator space. We're talking with Eric Haru of Merchant eSolutions about underwriting submerchants. Eric, could you start by telling me a little bit about who you are and what you do and what your role is with Merchant eSolutions?
Sure. So I'm Eric Haru, and I'm the Executive Vice President of Risk and Compliance at Merchant eSolutions. So I'm responsible for all of our risk and compliance functions, including underwriting, transaction monitoring, compliance and regulatory policy, and data security. And over the past 5 years or so, I've spent a pretty significant amount of time in varying capacities, dealing in the payment facilitator space and building PayFac programs at the acquirer level. And with that, I do want to give a disclaimer that, you know, the thoughts and opinions I'm sharing today are based on my own experiences and expertise, and not representative of Merchant eSolutions. So with that out of the way, Kim, fire away.
Great. Thanks, Eric. So we're talking today about underwriting submerchants. Is underwriting them different than it is for direct merchants or other organizations? Are you required to do less when you're dealing with a submerchant?
Yeah, so I guess it depends on the perspective. So let me say that, you know, first, you know, fundamentally speaking, you know, submerchants present the same risks as direct merchants, right? Whether that's financial risk, regulatory and AML risk, reputational risk, or risks of consumer harm. And arguably, actually, they present even greater risks since they are one more layer removed from the acquirer, right, versus a direct merchant. So, you know, in terms of the what needs to be done from an underwriting perspective, it shouldn't be any less. You know, the bigger question is who and how it's going to get done. You know, meaning, is it going to be a model where the acquirer places reliance on the PayFac to underwrite the submerchants and the acquirer performs oversight and testing? So in that scenario, I guess you could say that, you know, from an acquiring perspective, you do less, at least from a tactical and operational perspective. But, you know, you still absolutely have to ensure that you have the proper oversight and testing protocols in place of the PayFac process. You know, ultimately, as the acquirer, you know, you're still on the hook, you know, and the fact that these are submerchants doesn't alleviate you from complying with relevant regulations and protecting the ecosystem.
So you mentioned that with submerchants, there is that level of separation. So what are some of the particular risk considerations when you're working with submerchants that are different from working with direct merchants?
Yeah, so I think, again, the biggest consideration is how are you going to manage the risk, right? You know, all of the things that you would do for a direct merchant need to be done. It's just a matter of who's going to do it and getting comfortable with who's doing it. And so again, you know, if you think about it, these submerchants, you know, they're really clients of the PayFac. So as an acquirer, you know, these are really your customers' customers. And in most cases, the PayFac doesn't want the acquirer thrust into the middle of their relationships. So again, a big consideration here is how do you ensure that as an acquirer, you have the right risk management in place, or you ensure that the PayFac has the right risk management in place, and they're doing all the things that they should be doing on the submerchants? And how do you insert yourself from an oversight perspective in a way that's not disruptive to the PayFac model? And I think another consideration is the contractual component. So as you know, when a submerchant reaches certain volume thresholds, the car brands require that the acquirer now be a party to the submerchant agreement. You know, this, of course, gives the acquirer certain rights directly with the submerchant. So the question is, you know, how do you handle this requirement? Do you make the acquirer a party to the agreement from the start, or do you wait until the thresholds are reached to insert yourself as an acquirer as the party, right? And there's certain considerations to be thought about in either scenario. You know, if you do the latter, you know, you have to ask yourself, will it be disruptive to the relationship? You know, will it trigger any additional underwriting now that you as an acquirer have more of a direct linkage to the submerchant? You know, so these are all things that should be considered.
Let's take a break here for a message from our sponsor.
If you're a technology company wanting to provide payment processing services and you want to implement in days, not weeks, consider ProFac Express from ProPay. Other companies sponsor and process transactions for payment facilitators, but this is often the only service they deliver. ProPay's ProFac Express is a zero-risk solution, allowing you to take advantage of our online application, instant boarding, aggregation, underwriting, and processing solutions. For more information, call 844-896-3209 or visit propay.com/ProFac Express.
We're back with Eric Haru. Does the risk monitoring with the submerchant change based on the underwriting?
So good question. So yes and no, right? So the reason I say no is, you know, all submerchants should be subject to baseline risk monitoring. So, you know, things like transaction and velocity monitoring, chargeback monitoring, web crawling and the like. And I'll refer to this as kind of the day-to-day risk monitoring, and that shouldn't really be impacted by the underwriting. However, if you do have merchants who are higher risk, you know, due to maybe they present a higher contingent liability, they have greater reputational risk, greater compliance risk, then those merchants warrant some additional monitoring, possibly in the form of a periodic review. All right. So, as an example, you know, if you're dealing with a submerchant who has a high risk exposure due to delayed delivery of services, and they don't have a strong financial profile, you may want to consider putting that submerchant on some type of periodic review to monitor their financials and their ability to support the contingent liability. You know, and this is something that could be done on a monthly, quarterly, or semi-annual basis. And again, it's incremental to what you would do from kind of the day-to-day monitoring perspective. You know, another example, if you have a submerchant who's selling online prescription drugs, you know, this type of activity has a much higher reputational risk and risk of consumer harm. So you may want to periodically review their website and sales practices to ensure proper controls are in place. So I think the answer is yes, depending on the risk profile of the merchant, you should consider some incremental monitoring, and that monitoring and whatever controls or oversight you should put in place should be commensurate with the risk profile of that submerchant.
Okay. Can you talk some about the role of tools when it comes to underwriting submerchants? Do you use tools more, or is it more people, and how can tools be helpful?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if you can quantify, you know, which you use more, but certainly a combination of both is, I think, the best approach. Tools are useful because they help you quickly gather data for decision making, and they certainly can help you scale. And in some cases, if you have low-risk merchants, tools can be used to auto-decision an account. However, you know, the risk profile of a merchant or a submerchant isn't always binary, meaning it's either a pass or a fail, right? And in those cases, there's no substitute for, you know, good old-fashioned human experience and decision-making.
Can you talk more about that, about when people are not replaceable by tools?
So as mentioned, you know, a submerchant profile may not be a simple pass or fail. There may be some inherent risk involved with the submerchant, and it may be reasonable to assume that risk if you're trying to make a decision that balances risk versus reward. So in those cases where you need a deeper level of analysis to evaluate a merchant's risk profile and balance the decision against your company's policy or risk appetite, this is where people cannot be replaced by tools. You know, or perhaps it's a high-risk merchant, and it needs to be escalated to a higher approval authority for sign-off. Another consideration is that tools cannot always quantify risk. Perhaps you're dealing with a merchant who's processing in an industry with high reputational risk, like firearms. In cases like these, where you're trying to assess an impact to your company's reputation, there's not really a tool out there that can spit out a score and give you that analysis. That's something that you need to evaluate based on your company's risk appetite, balanced with the opportunity at hand. So ultimately, you know, there's no magic formula for how you decision every merchant. Every merchant is different, risk profiles are different, and there's going to be different scenarios that you need to account for. And this is something that tools always cannot be used to solve. So that's why it's important that you always have the human factor there, someone who can look at a profile, evaluate, do in-depth analysis, and try and review that merchant against the policy of your company and understand whether or not it's a good fit for the risk appetite of your company.
So after underwriting, what's next? You did talk some about the risk monitoring that needs to happen after some merchants are underwritten. What are some of the other considerations that acquirers need to be doing on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, so ultimately, you know, as an acquirer, it's your role, just like it is with any direct merchant, to ensure that the PayFac and their sub-merchants are performing as expected, and that their products and services aligned to what was stated during the application and underwriting process. And, you know, this is done through, as we discussed before, you know, velocity monitoring, chargeback monitoring, and other transaction level monitoring. And again, it's also done through periodic reviews, as I mentioned earlier. But, you know, in addition, you want to continuously monitor for reputational risk, and you can use tools like G2 or RDC. You should leverage resources like the Better Business Bureau and complaint boards to also monitor reputational risk and be on the lookout for merchants who might present higher risk of consumer harm. Then, of course, there's also data security, right? If it's a scenario where a sub-merchant is touching, storing, or transmitting cardholder data outside of the platform or environment provided by the PayFac, then you need to ensure that the PayFac has their sub-merchants validating PCI compliance. So, you know, in essence, you know, the PayFac needs to treat the sub-merchant no differently than an acquirer would treat a direct merchant. And it's the responsibility of the acquirer to make sure that happens through proper oversight and testing and annual reviews and the like.
Eric, thanks for speaking with PaymentFacilitator.com. And thank you to our listeners. Until next time, have a great week.